You take your Bibles this morning and turn to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5, exciting songs this morning. I think my favorite Easter hymn is Up from the Grave He Arose. Amen. I don't think you can sing that song without getting excited, amen, that Jesus rose from the dead. And He is alive forevermore. He makes intercession for us. He died to save us from sin. And this morning, look at Romans chapter 5. You'll look at two verses this morning as we go through. And this is, of course, Resurrection Sunday, the day that we traditionally celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's on the first day of the week. Sunday is the first day of the week. We're not saying He rose exactly on this date, but it's a date that we celebrate it. We commemorate that. And what a thing to commemorate. And by the way, not just at Easter time. Amen. We need to remember every single day that Christ is risen. Amen. He is alive forevermore. He is our Savior. And if you're not saved this morning, if you don't know for sure that your sins are forgiven, Jesus wants to be your Savior today. And in Romans chapter 5, we're going to look at two verses here in just a moment. And on this Easter morning, I think it's fitting to speak about Jesus Christ. Amen. I think it's fitting that we speak about Him, to look at the sacrifice of Christ, also look at the resurrection and resurrection of Christ. But however, there is an important question that many ask. Why did Jesus have to come? Why did He have to die? And why did He have to raise from the dead? Why did that happen? And there is an amazing answer to this, and that many here perhaps have not heard. If you have heard, and it's something that we can still get excited about, I'm telling you what, I never get tired of hearing about the story of Jesus. I think as a Christian, we should never get tired of it. I think we need to live by it more every day and have it more in our hearts, because if we hear a lot about it and we're excited about it, then we're going to tell others about it. But that's going to be more of my message tonight, so come back at 6 o'clock. It will be a different message than this morning. Someone asked me, he said, Pastor, you have two services, Sunday morning and Sunday night. Do you preach the same thing Sunday night? I do not. I preach something different. So that's traditionally how we do every service. Whether you come to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, they're all different. Amen? And so we're enabled to increase our learning in the Word of God. I want to let everyone know about that. But this morning, look at Romans chapter 5. We could all stand out of respect for the ring of the Word of God. And we're going to take a look at why Jesus had to come, why Jesus died, and why Jesus rose from the dead. In a message entitled, The Sacrifice of One. The Sacrifice of One. In Romans chapter 5, we're going to look at verse number 12. You follow along as I read this morning. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, let's skip down to verse number 15, follow along as I read. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing. Dear Father, we pray that You have blessed the message this morning. Lord, that You give me the word to say, and Lord, that our hearts would be open. And Lord, we're so thankful for the gift of salvation, as this verse just said, the free gift. And Lord, I pray that this morning, if any here this morning under the sound of my voice, listening by way of the stream this morning or here in the service, that they don't know for sure about their eternal destiny. They don't know for sure that they're on their way to heaven. And Lord, I pray that this morning that they would ask the question, why did Jesus come? And Lord, the answer is so amazing and so wonderful. And I pray that our hearts will be uplifted this morning as we hear the hope that is in Your word. Pray that You will bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. The sacrifice of one. And so we see two verses here in verse number 12 in Romans 5. We see that there's a reason for sin. There's a reason for suffering. There's a reason why there are so many evil things in this world. But also we see in verse number 15 the answer to that, that by the death of one person, Jesus Christ, we can have eternal life. We can have forgiveness of sin. But there's a lot that happens in between. So some people ask the question, well, why did Jesus have to come and die? Some people have asked me that question, maybe when I'm out door knocking or I'm out talking. Some people come to church and said, Pastor, I remember one time a young person in the Christian school came up to me and said, Pastor, I don't understand. Why did Jesus have to die? Why did Jesus have to die? And so many people ask that question. Well, why did Jesus die on the cross? They know who Jesus was. They know Jesus was the Son of God. They know that Jesus came and lived on this earth. We celebrate his birth at Christmas time. They know that he came. And they also know that he died on an old rugged cross. But the sad thing is they don't know why he did. They know that he did. They know all these things, especially in America. We know these things, but we miss the meaning of why he did. Well, the first thing this morning, I'm going to tell you a story. And I'm going to be starting at the beginning of the Bible, working all the way through. But this is not a fairy tale or a made-up story, as some people say, but it is a true story, an account of what God has done. So first off this morning, we're looking at the making of a man. Before we can really understand what the resurrection of Christ from the dead really means, or the sacrifice of Christ, the giving his life on the cross, we must start from the beginning. And in order to understand what man is today, you know, we see death today. We see disease. We see so many terrible things in the world. I think all of us would agree that the world can be a terrible place. There's a lot of, there's violence, there's disease, there's suffering. We see some happiness, but many times it's fleeting and doesn't last very long. Maybe there's some happiness in some circumstances, or there's some things going on that make us happy, but then there seems to be more evil. We see the evil that is around us. This is what man has become, but it wasn't how God wanted man to be. Let's look at Genesis here. We're going to go back to Genesis here for a couple of minutes. We're going to start at the beginning, and Genesis is the beginning. It's the beginning of the Bible, but it's also the beginning of the account of man. That man was created in the image of God. On the sixth day of the creation week, we see in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Life is precious. Life is important. Life is a gift from God. It is not something that we can choose to give or take, but it is something that God gives and that God takes at his design. And God formed man out of the dust of the ground. You look at the rest of creation, we see that God spoke it into existence, and then we see that God formed man of the dust of the ground. That man was created differently than the animals. I think we'd all agree that we're different from a dog or a cat or a monkey, and I said, but Pastor, didn't we evolve from all of these, from monkeys or from all of these things? Well, no. God created us. God made us. And this is how man was, where man began. Adam was created when God, not only did he form his body, but then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And I could preach a whole sermon on just that right there. And that man became a living soul. Man has a soul. Each and every person in here today, you have a soul. You're a spiritual being as well as a physical one. Animals don't have that. Animals don't have souls. Animals don't have anything else except their physical body. We are different from them. We're created in the image of God. In Genesis 1:26, God says this about man. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. As of a pastor, the science says that we evolved, we came from all these natural processes. Now, science is a wonderful thing. We have many wonderful things in our land today because of science. We have technology. We have our cell phones right here. You have your cell phone right here because of science. You have all of these things because of science. But just remember, those that say in the realm of science, don't things change? Don't ideas change? Opinions change? And how many times has science been proven wrong? Think about that for a minute. Now just remember, the same science that tells us we evolved is the same science that predicts our weather. Now, how many of you know how reliable the weather forecast is here in Central Texas? Amen. I think all of us would agree. Not very reliable. I can't tell you how many times I've rescheduled visitation or rescheduled something. Hey, it's an 80% chance of thunderstorms. Right? 5 minutes before, clear and sunny. I think I'm going to take God's word over the word of science, over man's word who's fallible in God. We looked at Sunday school that God is infallible, God is infinite, and God made man. Adam was created, then Eve was created. That's where we get the definition of marriage, where marriage came from. And do you know why we say this? And God created marriage, and that's why when we say in marriage vows, what God hath put together, let no man put asunder. You know who said that? Jesus did. In Matthew 19:6, Jesus said that. Now, Adam and Eve were created. They had a perfect garden. They had a perfect life. They had a perfect earth. There was no sin. There was no disease. There was no death. There was no suffering. They were perfect. God created us. It was very good. It was perfect. And I wish it stayed that way. Don't you? Adam and Eve would live forever. They were immortal. But then we've come to we see the making of a man. Second, we see the decision of a man. All seemed to be perfect. Then the devil decided to try and destroy what God had made in perfection. By the way, the devil always trying to destroy what God is going to do. The devil right now is trying to destroy the message of God in your hearts this morning. He's trying to do that. He's saying things like this. Do you really believe all this? This Bible stuff. Do you really believe what you're hearing? I mean, this is just what some people believe, but there's many paths to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way to God is by way of the cross, through Jesus Christ. The only way we can have eternal forgiveness of sin is through Jesus Christ. The devil might be saying, don't worry, you'll be okay. No need to listen to this right now. This is the most important message ever heard in all your life. The devil came and deceived Eve. We see that in Genesis chapter 3. By making her doubt what God had commanded. Yea, hath God said. Did God really say that? By making her doubt what God's intentions were. By making her doubt that God was good and honest. Oh, the devil still does that today. God is good. God is perfect. God is honest. And God loves you. She believed the lie and was deceived. But then, now we're going back to Romans chapter 12. Here in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. As by one man, sin entered into the world, and that man was Adam. The man that God had created, had breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and became a living soul. This man, he decided, Eve was deceived, but the Bible says Adam was not deceived. And she gave him that fruit. God had said, you can't eat of this one tree. You can eat of all the rest of the garden, but this one tree, the one thing that he was not permitted to do, he did. Isn't that how it goes with our children? We tell them all the things they can do, but we say, don't do this one thing. What do? The one thing they're not supposed to. Yeah, you kids know, right? I'm going to do the one. Why? Because that's just more exciting, right? That's more interesting, right? And that's the thing. Many times, you know, we give a list of instructions sometimes of what our kids not to do. You know, sometimes we don't need to give them what not to do, because if you tell them not to do it, you give them the idea to do it. You know what I'm talking about? But even then, you know, teenagers. It's a past, we're not talking about teenagers this morning. I'm going to talk about the teenagers for a minute. You know, you tell them, hey, this is what I want you to do here. This is what you can do, what you can't do. But what does always the devil speak to our teens about, and our adults about, and our different ones about? What God has not permitted. And that's exactly what the devil did. He spoke to Eve about what wasn't permitted. And Eve spoke to Adam and said, hey, take this. We don't know what was going through Adam's mind or what happened there all fully. But we do know that he wasn't deceived. And he knowingly and willingly disobeyed God. He knew what he was doing was wrong. He decided to disobey the command of God. But here's this. He did not realize the gravity of the decision he was about to make. He didn't realize what was going to happen. He didn't realize the consequence that was going to be placed upon every person born since that day. And there's a pastor, when was this? Almost 6,000 years ago, right around there. And about that, not millions of years or hundreds of thousands, about 6,000 years ago, we see this and that. Ever since that day, ever since that decision that Adam made to disobey God and to sin, every single person born would be affected by his decision. He didn't know the awful set of consequences that would follow. He didn't know what would happen to all his children and descendants. He did not know what would happen to billions of people because of his decision. Adam made the fateful decision to eat of the forbidden fruit. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, when they did, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together to make themselves aprons. Sin entered into man, and they tried to hide themselves from God. They tried to cover their sin. They tried to cover it with fig leaves and to cover their bodies. That's where we get clothing from. And usually man's idea of clothing isn't enough, but God's was perfect. And we see that a little later on. But we see this. They knew what disobedience was now. They knew what sin was. 1 John 3, 4 said, sin is the transgression, the breaking of God's law. And they had sinned. They had broken God's law. Because of that, man would now die bodily. There was a curse placed upon man. The earth was cursed. Disease and death were now part of everyday life. Man was no longer pure and holy, but is born wicked and sinful. Every person who has been born is a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of man's decision to disobey God, we're sinners. And because of that sin, Romans 6:23 said, for the wages of sin is death. Adam and Eve would have lived forever if they had not sinned. But because of their sin, they died. And every generation after generation after generation after generation of people has died. All because of sin. God never intended to be that way. All because of sin. All that you see out here in the world today, all the evil, all the sin, all the wickedness, that's not God's fault, that's man's fault. That's man's decision. That's man's wickedness. And man will pay the price for it. That leaves us not in a good position. So now, because of man's sin, Adam and Eve were not able to fellowship with God. God walked with them in the garden. God came and fellowshiped personally with them. They could communicate to Him and He to them. But now that was over. Now that was no longer the case. Man was now sinful. And man cannot be in the presence of a pure and a holy God. And God cannot be in the presence of sin. So now a great divide between man and God existed. A seemingly hopeless one. No way that man could fix it. There's no way that man could bridge that gap. Though many have tried, it's not possible. But God in His love, He loved man so much. Now, we all know John 3:16, but sometimes we quote it, we don't really think about what it's saying. For God so loved the world. You know who the world is? That's you. That's me. That's everyone who's in the world. You can put your name, for God so loved me. Or so loved, put your name there. He loved you so much that He wanted to make a way for you to be saved from the penalty of sin. That's what it means to be saved from your sin, because we're all sinners. So, well, I'm not a sinner. I haven't done anything wrong. You know what the Bible says about that? It said that you lie and do not the truth. You say you're not a liar. If you say you're not a sinner, we're all sinners. We've all done wrong and broken the law of God. And that brings us to number three, the giving of a man. We see the making of a man. We see Adam made. We see the decision Adam made. But now, God is going to give another man. We see John 3:16 clearly tells us that God sent Jesus, the God-man, 100% God, 100% man. And He came to earth to die in man's place. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of a virgin, just like God had said centuries before. He lived a perfect life and never sinned one time. He taught us how to live. He taught us how to love God, but He came for one purpose, and He came to die for the sins of men. He came to die in our place. We deserve to hang on the cross because of our sin. We deserve the death penalty for the wages of sin. What we have earned is death. That's what we justly deserve. Every single person in here today, you deserve the death penalty because of your sin, according to God's law. We're not talking about the law of the United States of America. We're not talking about law of anybody else, not a man's law, but God's law says you are worthy of death because of your sin. But God loved you so much, He sent Jesus Christ, His Son, to die in your place. looked at last week at the triumphal entry when Jesus came into Jerusalem. Very shortly thereafter, later on in the week, that same week, Jesus was falsely accused and was tried and convicted and given the death penalty for something he did not do and he did not commit. He was beaten, mocked, shamed, and hung on a cross, the most painful death a man can die. The Romans had invented crucifixion as a public execution, also a type of torture. It was a terrible way to die. Have nails put through your wrists and your feet and hung in a particular way to where that you couldn't breathe. And the only way that you could breathe was to stand on the nails that were in your feet. Eventually, people would wear out and they would eventually die of suffocation on the cross. That's why when Jesus had died already on the cross, that's why they broke their legs so they couldn't stand up anymore. So they would just suffocate and die. A terrible way to die. It was a type of torture as well as a public example. If you crossed the Empire of Rome, this is what will happen to you. Many times people were left on the cross to hang there for weeks until their bodies rotted to skeletons. The road into Jerusalem was lined with crosses. This was a terrible way to die. That's what we deserve. As we deserve because of our sin. The judgment of God because of our sin. And Jesus did it to die in our place. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that He became sin. He took on Himself our sin. Think about that for a moment. Everything that we have done. 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in Him. Think about that. All of our sin, every wicked thought, every wicked action. As a pastor, but God wouldn't forgive me. Had someone not so many months ago come in here and said, "Pastor, I'm just having a really tough time." I said, "I used to be in the gangs and I've killed many people. And then I worked for the United States government and I was, I took out so many people and I killed people. And I've taken so many lives. I've beaten so many people. I've done so many wrong things. I've sold drugs. I've been immoral. All of these things. God would not want to forgive me." I said, "Yes, He would. He wants to forgive you." We think God's mercy has a limit. God has no limit of His mercy and His grace. God is infinitely powerful. God can't forgive. It doesn't matter what you've done, what you've said, what you've thought. It doesn't matter. God can forgive it all. And Jesus took all of that on Himself and He hung upon that wretched cross and He hung there and He suffered and He became sin and He paid the debt of sin that you owed. God paid it for all of mankind. And He died and was buried. And some would say, "Well, that's the end of the story. That's the end, right?" Well, on the cross, He paid for sin. But sin and death, remember, death was the enemy of God. Death was never the intention for man. Yes, He paid for sin, but we have access to God, but no eternal life. But through Jesus, we can have eternal life. Why? We see the last point, the life of a man. Now we come to the end of the story, or I should say the beginning. Why we're here today. Jesus was buried in the tomb. Guards were set to make sure that His body wasn't stolen, because the Pharisees knew what the Lord had said of Himself. The disciples didn't remember, but the Pharisees knew. Isn't that interesting? He had defeated sin on the cross, and now He was to defeat death in His resurrection. He rose again so that we could have new life as well. That whosoever believes in Him, that pleads for forgiveness from sin, will have eternal life given to them. That Jesus rose from the grave victorious over sin, victorious over death. Death could not hold Him. We were singing in our hymns this morning. Up from the grave He arose, because isn't death, that's the most terrifying thing for a person is death. That's the most terrifying thing for any person. He said, what are you most afraid of? He said, I'm most afraid of dying. You know why? Because people don't know what happens at death. They're afraid to die because they don't know what's going to happen to them. They don't know if death is the end. Well, we know from the Bible that death isn't the end. Death isn't the end, my friends. If you want to believe that, you'll find out one day you're wrong. Death is not the end. Other people are afraid because they know death is not the end, and they don't know if they'll wake up in torment, as Jesus talked about the rich man that he did. He woke up in torment. In hell, the flames of hell. Hell is a real place. So I choose not to believe in hell. You can choose all you want. It's still real. I can say I don't believe in this pulpit. Doesn't make any difference. That's still there. But also, heaven is a real place. Amen. Heaven's a real place. And we don't get there by being good. We don't get there by being baptized. We don't get there by coming to church on Easter Sunday, though it's a good thing. Glad you're here, but it doesn't get you to heaven. The only way you can get to heaven, Jesus said, for I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man, no person, nobody, no man cometh unto the Father who is in heaven but by me. What does that mean? To come to Jesus and accept the free gift. Now, let's look back at Romans chapter 5. We just looked there a minute ago when we first started. We're going back there. Romans 5:12 says this. We learned about Adam. As for what by one man sin entered into the world. That was the sin of Adam. And death by sin. Death is the penalty for sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But the hope is in verse 15. But not as the offense of what? Sin. So also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, that's the offense of Adam, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. What do we also see? That Jesus, by the death of one man, many be made righteous. By Adam's death, we see that many were made sinners and death passed upon all men. But by the death of Jesus, many are made righteous. He undid what the decision that Adam made. By his death and sacrifice, he paid the penalty for Adam's decision. Will you accept that free gift of forgiveness this morning? If you're here today and want to receive the life that Jesus that is in Jesus Christ, Jesus rose from the dead and he ascended up in heaven. Now he's on the right hand of God. He is alive today. The Bible says he lives to make intercession for us. He is waiting in the halls of heaven to forgive your sin. He is waiting to give you the free gift and he wishes to give it to so many. But God gives us a choice to make. God gives us a choice. And the choice this morning is yours. Will you accept the free gift that God is extending to you of forgiveness, or will you reject it? The most priceless thing in all the world is salvation. Say, being saved from sin. If you're here today, you can have forgiveness of sin. You can have eternal life. You can be made a new creature in Christ. You can be given spiritual life. The same life that rose Jesus from the dead can make you new. To those who are dead in their sins. How do you receive the new life? How do you receive salvation? How do you receive forgiveness? Number one, first admitting that you're a sinner, just like the Bible says. The Bible states it as a fact, not as, well, you might be a sinner. You are. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's step number one to receiving the eternal life that Jesus wants to give you this morning. Admit that you're a sinner. Admit that you've done wrong. Admit that your sins are sending you to a real and literal hell. That's the second thing. That your sin has a penalty. That breaking God's law has a penalty. Third, realizing you can't save yourself. I can't be good enough. I can't go to church enough. I can't do anything. The debt is too great to be paid back. Fourth, You must put your entire faith and trust in Jesus Christ to forgive and save you right now. Plus nothing else. No other steps. No other gods. No other not joining the church or being baptized. Anything else. Just simply Jesus. Trusting in Him alone. So, Pastor, how? How do I know this is going to work? How do I know? I just don't know. Romans 10:13 says this, for whosoever, whosoever means everybody, anyone, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord should be saved. Might be. 50-50 chance. No, actually it doesn't say that. What does it say? Shall be. I would think that's something that's a sure thing, wouldn't you? Now, if I walked up to anybody in here today and I told you I might be here tonight at 6 o'clock for the service. I might be preaching a message tonight. Now, what would you think about that? I don't think I want to come because I don't know if the preacher's not going to be here, I'm not going to be here, right? As you would say, well, you have some doubt in your mind. But if I came up to you, I said, I'd love to have you come back at 6 o'clock. I shall be here. What am I saying? I am promising to be here. I'm making a promise. You know, I think you would hope my word would be good and that I would be here, right? Now, unless I get in a car accident or something, I might not be here. Thankfully, we learned this morning in Sunday school, God is not a man. God never fails. And by Jesus, and by God saying this in Romans 10:13, He is making a promise to you. If you call upon Him, if you call upon Jesus Christ and ask Him to forgive your sin, He promises to save you. It's a promise. You can be sure about it. You can take it to the bank. You don't have to doubt it. He'll save you this morning. Will you make that decision today? Most important decision that you can ever make in your life. So, well, Pastor, I already know Jesus Christ. I know all about Him. That's great. You can know all about Him and still not be on your way to heaven. All the Pharisees knew all about Him. Judas, like, oh, Judas was a bad person, but he knew all about Jesus. I can tell you he didn't go to heaven. He rejected. He rejected what Jesus had done for even him. He rejected that, and instead decided to portray God Himself. This is the most important decision anyone can ever make. So this morning, doesn't matter whether you're a young person or adult, we have counselors this morning. In just a few moments, we're going to have our invitation time. We're going to pray. Our invitation time is an opportunity for you to respond. This is the most important message any person could be ever be given. And we take it so seriously that we want to make sure that if you want to accept Jesus Christ, we have people that love God and love the Bible and want to show you exactly what I showed you today in the Bible so you can see it for yourself and want to help you know for sure and by helping you know how to call upon God to save you this morning. They're not going to save you. It's God that does the saving. I don't save you. I can't pray for anybody and get them out of anywhere. I can't pray and get your loved one out of hell. The Bible doesn't teach that. I can't do it. I'm just a man giving you God's message. God's message is, come all ye who are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you for my burden is light. That's what Jesus said. As if you're